Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today we have a wonderful special guest for you as part of the Prosperity Teacher series. A person, I started to say teacher because she is a teacher in the way she lives her life, and she is also an opulent, abundant, lavishly supplied artist. And I know that many artists have so struggled with the abundance issues, and so she's so much more than an artist. I can't even tell you. I don't know where to begin. So without further ado, I want to introduce Marlise Jermutis. Am I saying it right, Marlise?
Yes, Jermutis.
Oh, I can say it right
too. It's okay.
And Marlise, you're a wonderful artist, and your art has a transformative effect on people.
Yeah.
Well, how did you get started being an artist?
Should I talk about a little bit the biography?
Yeah, sure. You can talk about whatever you want.
Okay. So I was born in West Germany in a small town of Wesel that is near the Dutch border in May 1942. That was here in the middle of World War II. I was surrounded by death, fear, hunger. And my father, unsympathetic to the Nazis, was sent to his death at the Russian front when I was 2 years old. My mother with her children were relocated to the east part of Germany to work on a farm. When I was 7 years old, we escaped from East Germany to West Germany, back to my hometown, Wesel. So I started actually painting in 1970, and I had immediately an exhibition as an abstract artist in my hometown, Wesel.
Wow.
That was, of course, wonderful to get that feedback immediately. And what I paint is trans-expressionism, what I paint now. When I started painting, I was painting in an abstract impressionism. I painted my impression of a landscape, the river, or meadows in an abstract way. Then I became an abstract expressionist. I was painting the expression of my inner self, not the outer world. And as I evolved as an artist more and more, I came to trans-expressionism, meaning my painting is an expression of the communication between my higher self and the divine. So before I begin painting, I prepare myself in meditation, that the ego just drops away and my hands are moved by my higher self, through the grace of God. So I paint usually a series of painting in one theme. Some of the themes are nature spirits, joy for peace, or talk to your DNA. In each
I didn't understand the last two things you said.
Nature spirits,
uh-huh.
Joy for peace, or talk to your DNA. Talk to your DNA.
Talk to your divinity?
DNA. Your DNA.
Oh, talk to your DNA.
Yes. Sorry about my German English.
If I don't understand something, I'll just ask you.
Okay. Wonderful. So in each series, every painting has its own title. And so the titles are like, if you look closely, you can see the flowers breathing, or the time has come to lose your gravity, or, wait, what else? See my true self.
The time has come to lose your gravity.
Yes.
Love that.
Wonderful, no? It is really true. The time is here to lose our gravity, you know? That we
that speaks to a whole lot of levels.
Yes. Yes. And so when people want to see my art, they can go to the starseedgallery.net. Or I have some...
what galleries.net?
That is Starseed, like Starseed. Starseed.
Starseedgalleries.net.
Yes.
Okay.
Or that is on YouTube. I have there some movies. YouTube.com/Pelorian Pages. I spell that for you. It's PELORIAN. And then PAGES. Pelorian Pages. Also YouTube.com/Pelorian Pages.
Pelorian Pages.
Yes, and there are some movies out, one about the artist and one Nourishment for the Soul. And then I have The Deer in the Yard, wonderful movie about my wild deer, and Otto My Blue Jay. There is another video about Otto, a friendly jay. So those are all the videos on YouTube. And I play tampura, actually, with the music group Starseed. This is, again, Starseed, Starseed. And we play usually in temples or churches, meditation centers. It is a very calming and meditative music. Very wonderful. And to hear a sample, you can go to starseedmusic.net.
Okay.
That's a lot of information.
Yes, it is, and I want to repeat it because it's important.
Yeah?
It's important. Your life, your legend is important in teaching people to overcome difficulties and drop their gravity and become
right.
what they are.
Right, right.
And you have such a reputation around Mount Shasta as being someone that absolutely speaks her mind. And
I think to be honest, especially in this time here, it's the most important thing. Honest, and honesty comes from our heart. When we speak with our heart, when we think with our heart, being in our heart, then we can prosper. Because prosperity is really a matter of style. It is how I chose to live my life. When we prosper, we grow strong and wealthy. Meaning...
We grow strong and what?
Wealthy.
Oh, wealthy.
Yes. That means, as a spiritual seeker, my goal is to become one with everything. In this context, wealth and strength takes a different meaning, takes on a different meaning. To create prosperity in any form, we need to be in our heart, thinking with our heart and giving with our heart. Is it not so, as more we give, as more we receive? That is actually a universal law, So prosperity wealth is really what we appreciate. As we evolve in consciousness, we understand that the greatest wealth is created by giving this love from our heart. And I think what we think and say is very important, because we attract that what we think. Our brain is a very powerful tool. So when we want to change the world to love and compassion and peace, we have to be that. We have to become that. To think in love and compassion, and to act in love and compassion, that prosperity can grow, prosperity in health, in spirit, in kindness, and in material needs, It's, for me, the most important thing in prosperity or abundance is really the spirit, spiritual, but that doesn't mean that I don't need money, and, we need all money to live our life here. And but still, for me, the spiritual abundance is more important, health, that we take care of our body's health, because the body is a vehicle for our spirit, for our consciousness, that we invoke God in our heart. When we are in our heart, we are connected with our Creator, with God, and I do a lot to keep my body young, young, and reverse even the aging process with nutrition, drinking a lot of water, and thinking. The people ask me often here, why do you look so young? Then I say, I just stay with 45. I'm not 65, I stay with 45, and I act like I'm 45 still, or even younger, you know?
Yes.
That is what we attract then, you know? And so, I think you are right. I have a life in prosperity on all levels, you know?
Yes, you do.
Spiritual, health, wealth, you know, and growing consciousness.
And creativity, such creativity, not only in your art and not only in giving your musical gifts, but in the way you live your life. I want to talk about the deer in your yard because, Marlies,
yeah?
So many people, their concern for life goes to the end of their property.
Right.
You know, exactly. It's like, and nothing else can come in, and
right.
And nothing
mm-hmm.
else matters, and
uh-huh.
And you are living so differently than that, and I think that is part of prosperity, and
right.
that is part of compassion and interest and love for all life. So
right.
talk about the deer. This, and I urge people to see this video. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, you know, when I moved here to Lake Shastina near Mount Shasta, a wild deer visited me one day. And after a short while, we became friends. And I was so touched, you know, so touched. I thought, my God, that is a wild deer. She just comes to me and tells me something. And then over the years, I got all the babies, and they grow up. And then I have in my backyard here a wonderful pyramid, a very small model of the Great Pyramid. And I sit sometimes in the summertime there, and the deer sitting around me, and they are just in peace, you know. And I mean, they know me since years now. When I'm not very calm with them, they just back up and go. So I have to be always consciously calm and talk with them in a very nice voice, you know. They are unbelievable, wonderful animals, very, very sensitive, you know. And it's so wonderful to see the young little babies, you know, when they come, they get the babies around my property here, and then Eva or Lisa or Rose, they show me their babies, you know, when they just can't walk, just stay up and fall down again. It is unbelievable, Iris. What a wonderful
I know. Well, didn't somebody have triplets in your backyard?
Yes. They, Eva and Lisa, they always get every year triplets. And I read on the internet that usually they have one or sometimes two babies. But three is very seldom. And I have that now here since 6 years. Every year, three babies.
Mm-hmm.
That's
we
wonderful.
Had three babies.
Oh.
We had two sets of three babies this
uh-huh.
year at our house. And, you know, I have to say, I have been so touched by you because I've gone through a process with the deer myself. You know, I got mad at them because they ate all my roses and they just mowed my yard down.
I know. But, you know, I take that here because I moved in their area here,
uh-huh.
you know, and took all their privacy. And so I don't have roses except here on my porch, you know, and I watch that. And I can't make any vegetables or special flowers, you know. And I thought, okay, I sacrifice it for the deer, you know.
Well, you know, I sort of made a deal with them, and I
uh-huh.
and I put those deer blocks out behind the back fence,
mm-hmm.
And then in the front, I don't have a fence, but I put the deer feed down lower where I don't have anything. Where I don't have anything grown, and I really talk to them. And ask them, you know, to leave the rest.
Yeah, good. They understand everything. You know, sometimes I talk to Eva. She's actually the smartest here, and she's now 4 years old, nearly five. Yeah. So she, I talk sometimes to her in German, and she understands perfectly what I'm saying. You know, it's just, you know, they don't understand the words so much, but the meaning, you know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, wonderful. And I have, of course, here other wildlife. So I have a wonderful Jay, his name, I called him Otto, and he comes and eats almond out of my hands, you know. It's so wonderful to communicate with deer and with all wildlife, you know, and not just shoot the deer. Now in that time where the hunters are going around, you know, the deer are, of course, very sensitive and afraid, you know. And then they come sometimes and sit here for hours, you know, until the hunters are going, you know. I mean, you know, some people, they like to hunt and eat the deer meat, you know. I have nothing against that, of course not, you know. Everybody eats what he or she wants, you know. But it is not so nice, you know. Especially the deer are so, so wonderful animals, so wonderful.
I look forward to the time where, you know, just as speaking as a mom, Marlies.
Yeah.
I love my children so much, and I've really observed the way animals love their children.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They love them as much
yes.
as we do.
Yes.
And I have a deal, you know, it's like I won't hurt any of your children.
Right.
And nobody will hurt any of my children.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my deal with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to a time where we really respect and honor and every mother's child gets to grow up.
Right.
And be happy
right.
and fulfill its destiny. And
yeah,
be,
yeah.
And be nurtured and supported and loved and...
Right.
Just
mm-hmm.
treated with the utmost respect.
Exactly, exactly.
And
oh, yeah.
So, you know, but I don't, you're one of the few people I know on the planet who are operating like St. Francis.
A little bit, maybe, you know. I think we can be all St. Francis, you know, when we respect the animals, not only our house animals, you know, like cats, birds, and dogs, but the wild animals who are a part of the whole creation on that planet here, you know, that is what we have to do, what we need, you know. And I think as more the consciousness is growing on that planet, as more we respect the animals, and as less we kill animals for our food, you know. Because I think all this here, especially here in California, we really don't need to eat meat. Really not. I mean, some people, like I said, I don't care what people eat, but I think for myself and for my family, we don't need meat. We can get all nutritions and everything from fruits, vegetables, you know, from whatever. You know, we don't need to eat meat anymore in this time. You know.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, no.
Go ahead.
You know, as more our consciousness grows, as more we become aware, you know, and in a healthy body, because think about meat is very difficult to digest, you know. It takes 16, 18 hours to digest meat. So, and when I think about all the, we said in Germany in the 70s when we became aware of food, really, with the animals and what they give all the animals, you need 10 kilo of meat or animal meat, you know, to get 1 kilo of grain. So that means if we take less meat, we have much more food for the whole planet here, you know, for the whole planet, really. All that meat and meat, gosh, no more. I mean, everywhere. It's not only America. I see that everywhere. You know?
Well, you know what? For me, I just don't want to do anything
mm-hmm.
that causes suffering.
Right. Exactly.
I wouldn't take any mother's baby's
right.
coat.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
I would beg for their lives if I were there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and I think that children know this.
Mm-hmm.
My dad used to take me fishing.
Ah, yeah.
And I would beg him to let the fish go. I would beg him. And then sometimes he would let them go because he didn't have a full, you know, enough of a catch to clean them. And I would beg him to let them go right up into the time he cut their heads off. And I don't know why. He just kept taking me fishing.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the most children, what I realize, and sometimes I watch that, they really don't like to eat meat.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
I was made to eat meat.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Even in the wartime, I mean, I never had a lot of meat, that is for sure. And I started to become a vegetarian in 1970 or 71. Since this time, I don't eat meat. And it's wonderful. I mean, my body is much more healthier, you know, that's for sure. And all the children get forced to eat meat, you know. If you don't eat your meat, how can you get your pudding? Is that not a phrase from the Beatles or from someone?
Yeah.
If you don't eat your meat, how can you get your pudding? That is it, you know.
Well, you know, and I see, you know, you are an example of what you can do with your body when you don't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are very flexible and athletic and strong and beautiful and thin.
Thank you. Yeah, I like I said, I don't want. Noon, I live here with two men. You know.
Talk about that.
Ah, okay. And both men are younger than me. My husband is 16 years younger, and my lover is 10 years younger than I am. And so I know my husband, I know my lover since 1971. He was around 18, I was 28. And in this time, we were not lover, we were just good friends. He came over to Germany, to Europe, to escape the Vietnam, that he has not to go to Vietnam. And so they started in Europe near my hometown in Germany, a rock and roll group. And they became really very successful in Europe. And then, then he left Europe and went back to America, and I married my fourth husband, Bastian, and when we were 8 years married, Raza became my lover. From a deep friendship, he became my lover. Suddenly, there was this very strong sexual attraction to him between us.
Uh-huh.
And I talked with my husband about it, and he said, okay, let's try what comes up with it, you know. We never had sex together. I mean, three of us. It was not our thing to do, having three of us sex. But I had sex with my lover when I visited him, or sex with my husband when we were together. And what is so good is we live all three in separate places. My husband has his house in the Bay Area. I have here my house in Mount Shasta, and my lover has his house in Massachusetts. So we three visit each other, and sometimes we are maybe two, three times a year, we are all three of us together, and it is just wonderful, just wonderful. I mean, the men respect each other, what is good. They don't see a woman like, this is my property, or, you know, this kind of thing. And they are both different, but they have both the same kind of lifestyle. They love music, they love philosophy, they are both in their spiritual path. They love women, meaning they respect really the Shakti in a woman, and that is what they do with me. It's wonderful. And the dumb thing is when I was in my menopause 9 years ago. I had to, suddenly I didn't like to have any sex anymore. And I thought, oh my God. So I talked to my doctor and she said, listen, Marlies, that is sometimes with women that comes up. You had so much sex in your life, it's just gone. When you had enough ice cream, you doesn't want any more ice cream. And I thought, okay. So I had to talk with both of my men. And I told him that I don't have from now on any more sex. And they can masturbate or look for another woman or whatsoever. That is up to them now, you know. But my sex is gone. And they respected that. They really did. And it's still the same love. We grow, actually, in consciousness, in divine love, much more than before, actually. That doesn't mean, you know, when you have sex, you don't grow in consciousness, of course, you know. But it is not a big deal anymore. You know, it never was, actually. And when there comes another woman in, say, in Radha's life, my lover's life, I agree with that, you know.
Has that happened?
Pardon?
Has that happened?
No, until now, not. Both men told me it's too much work for them. And I said, what? Yeah, it's too much work looking for a woman. They think they have to, the woman has to be very free to take that three or four kind of, you know, mostly couples, they want to be by themselves, you know, and share everything with themselves, you know, and not with others. And so that was always a little difficult, you know. So until now, there is not another woman in our life. But I would, you know, I would welcome that. Because I think for both men, it's nice to have sex with a woman and not with themselves, you know, not just masturbating, you know. So, blah, blah, blah. It's still wonderful. It's really wonderful.
So now you all live together?
We are living, at the moment, not, but we want to. As soon as my husband can stop working in Silicon Valley, he will move here to Mount Shasta, and Radha, my lover, too. You know, then, but still, we don't want to live in one house. I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I want to be by myself and have the man around me. It's so wonderful, the male spirit, you know, the female spirit and the male spirit. And so that is what we are planning to do, whenever that will be. You know, if we make anyway music, the Starseed Group music is Radha, he plays sitar, and Bastian plays synthesizer, and I play tampura. So we play a kind of, we'll say, Western Indian meditation music, very calming and wonderful meditation music.
That's wonderful.
It is, actually.
And the three of you have made harmonious music with your life. You know, I think about your lifestyle, and I think about how many people would have made just a horrid drama out of that.
Right. Oh, yeah. A lot of people, of course, asking me how I do that. You know, at first, they were all a little suspicious. You know, they thought, oh, that will never work, right? And for us, it was an experience, of course. You know, we wanted to see how far it goes. And like I said, it became better and better, really. I mean, the thing is, you know, I believe, or we believe in karma. So when we want to be free, even in a relationship or in a marriage, we need to play our karma out. And that is the most important thing, is that everybody can do what she or he has to do, to play the karma out, you know, to do what they want to do and not being restricted in any way. You know, that is, I think, very important. You know, and I usually, you know, like I said, my lover is American. He's actually American Jews. So, but it's interesting because my husband and I am German. So this kind of culture coming together. You know, it's very interesting and very nice. Well, just wonderful, you know.
Well, you know, let's go back to that free thing, because in so many relationships I have seen and people I've worked with is that they don't actually love the other person. They love, they have this little box that they have that says, I love you if you fit inside this box.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. No, 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 no. That is, I think that is anyway, you know, love is really a universal thing, a divine love in us, you know, when we open up to God, really, and I mean it, when we open up to the divine, you know, then it becomes love a completely different meaning. Usually, I mean, I know that from my own life, I'm attracted to a person, and then I say, I love you, but to have a divine love between a marriage or a relationship, that has, you know, we have to make sacrifice, you know, to go halfway, to give halfway our ego, and the partner has to do that too, you know, just coming along and say, okay, that is your field here, and I'm coming in here with all my, you know, awareness, and don't hurt you, and I want the same from you, you know, and that is mostly the problem in marriages, or, you know, mostly the problems, you know, that come up. When, you know, when the attraction is gone, or the sex attraction is gone, you know, suddenly then comes the gray days, you know, and then you think, my God, where's all the love gone that was before? You know, because it was not the real love. It was not the, you know, the awareness. And we have to nurture love, you know. When we live with a partner, we have to nurture this, you know, this being together, you know. And, yeah, and what I really like with both of my men is that we always tell the truth. That is so important. We don't have any, you know, what you call it, Geheimnis,
subterfuge.
Yeah. Or,
don't,
you know,
play games.
Yeah, right. You know, no games, please. You know, we are old enough. We don't need to do that anymore. You know, we just be open, and both, you know, we have to understand when somebody makes a mistake that we embrace the person and don't judge. You know, judgment is anyway a huge thing today. You know, we judge other people. I know that for myself. Until I realized, my God, when I judge other people, I always judge myself. You know, I always judge myself. There's no other way. And when we are out of judgment, you know, then we can see the divinity in people, in everybody, actually. You know, that doesn't mean we don't need to be with everybody, you know, but showing the person respect and knowing this or she or he is a divine being, like we all. We all come from God, you know, and we are all divine. We are all made from love, sound, and light, you know. We are created. Love is within us, you know. God is within us, you know. And when we act like that, we prosper. You know, we are in abundance. We prosper, and everything is wonderful. Even the world is in a chaos. Yes, it is. But we want to change the world. We want to change the world. Only we can do that. We want to lift and shift that planet to another consciousness, you know, where the killing is stopping, where poverty is stopping, where all that, you know, what we have now on the planet, it's to an end, you know, it's just ended, you know, and we live here in a paradise that we really created over the centuries and centuries, you know, with killing and killing and killing, and that is, that's over. One day it is all over, and we live here really in a paradise, you know, consciously in our divinity. And we talk about always about the war, how bad it is, how, you know, that is bad and that, yes, it is bad, but we should talk much more about love, compassion. What can we do? being a nice person with our neighbors, with our families, you know, that kind of thing. When we can't make peace in our families and in our neighborhood or wherever we live, you know, how can we have peace on the planet? Because that consciousness, this thinking goes out. When I think about that, you know, about my neighbor or what, then that energy goes out. You know, somewhere the energy goes. And so that has to stop, that the people become really aware of peace, being in peace, and giving that peace out and nourishment to everybody and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to go back to the couple thing because I... And, you know, I got to be with my twin flame for 42 years, and I adored him, and he adored me, and I was always terrified of losing him, and this was a guy, I went into the bank with him one day. Everyone that worked there was a woman, and they just all stopped what they were doing because he was there. I mean, a beautiful, beautiful man, but not only beautiful physically, but beautiful in his beingness.
And
people really recognized that and responded to him. And so as I got older, I felt less attractive and that he was more attractive. And so I really, you know, felt more of that fear of losing him. And
you mean because of the sex life went away in you?
No, it didn't go away.
Oh.
But I was afraid that we were very, very different.
Oh.
You know, we were very... very different, the two of us, and we did do a lot of things by ourselves, both of us did, and both of us needed a lot of alone time. But I used to think he would be happier with someone that did all of those things that he wanted to do.
Oh, no, why? I'm sure he was happy that he could be by himself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But, you know, I used to think that, you know, if he did choose somebody else for sex or if he did choose someone else to do things with, that would mean, you know, why was he married to me?
Right.
And I finally came to this thing that and it was before I knew about you, but I finally came to this thing that, you know, if he chose somebody else, my only choice would be to love both of them. To just love both of them, and that my learning was always to learn to love everyone the way I loved him.
Ah, right. So that was a wonderful challenge, your fear, right? Very good challenge, yeah. I mean, we all are afraid to lose our beloved, you know, whoever it is, you know. But then when we let go and surrender, then I think everything is fine.
Well, you know, it's something else about love that I don't think a lot of people recognize, and a dog taught me this. I had a wonderful dog, and I adored him. And he got hit by a car. And so for about 5 years, I kept trying to replace him. And they wouldn't be like him, you know.
Of course not.
I didn't have the same joy I had with him. And something would always happen with these dogs. Like one just disappeared into thin air. And then I had a new one that looked like him. And I came home, and she did this thing, which he never would have done. I had on white silk pants, and she put her muddy paw on my pants.
Oh.
And I was looking at her, and I thought, oh, she's so glad to see me. And then I thought, but you're not Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I was judging her.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that the judgment was to protect me from really loving the way I loved with him.
Uh-huh.
Because it felt like my heart got run over by a truck when I lost him, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And so I realized then that the joy I had with him was because I was always pouring out love.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing people want about being in love.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it makes us happy to pour out love.
Right.
And it makes us unhappy to withhold it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So after that, I loved all animals I ever had freely, completely, without ever any thought for the next day, you know. And
mm-hmm.
if I lost them, so what? Would I have missed this?
Right. Uh-huh.
And I think that's what we need to learn about loving people.
Right. Uh-huh.
That the joy comes from pouring it out.
Right. Exactly. I know, is that right that your husband passed away?
Yes.
This year or what, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So that must be very hard for you, right?
It's the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I am in the process of writing a book to give that away because I have been given such deep and profound and great love.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everyone to know that they can have that.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that is wonderful.
So, you know, I'm not drowning in self-pity. I am using that
uh-huh.
to give to people. Because I think that's the purpose when you're given some great, you know, one of my friends said one time, Donald Trump would give everything he has to have what you and Jerry have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, that's the reason people prove themselves and do all of these things that their heart isn't really in.
Right.
In the world so that they can feel that they deserve that love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest project is knowing we deserve that
right,
love.
Right. Uh-huh.
I want to talk, we have about, we only have about 5 minutes, but Sharon said, be sure and talk to you about ascension. What is ascension to you?
Oh, God, ascension. I mean, that is a big topic now, you know. Ascension is a process, for me, a process of becoming more and more conscious. You know, everybody has his own process of ascension, bringing more and more light into the brain and the body to bring a process of spiritual transformation, to show ascension over darkness. What I do is, since 2 years, I do a special light meditation, what is called brain illumination. It is a visualization technique to bring light into the different components of the brain and the rest of the body and cells and DNA. That is combined with conscious breathing, you know, conscious breathing, pranayama. And it is a powerful meditation. I have learned this technique actually from my spiritual teacher, Her Holiness Sai Ma Lakshmi Devi. And I give the website here on because when people want to know more about the brain illumination or ascension, they can look that up here on the web. It's humanityinunity.org.
Humanityinunity.org?
Yes.
Humanityinunity.org.
I'm
writing that down.
It's a wonderful, wonderful website and the Her Holiness Sai Ma Lakshmi Devi. It's a wonderful modern teacher for the West, especially for America. She came here to America. She's mostly an Indian or wherever, around the world, doing charities and blah, 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 all that stuff. But she is a very modern teacher, but I like, of course, and for me as a woman, it's nice to have a spiritual teacher as a woman and not again a man. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm not against spiritual male teacher, oh no. But it is so nice to have the Shakti, you know, the Shakti from a high spiritual teacher. And so that is what I'm doing, you know, and keep my body very healthy, that I can bring more and more light into my body, into my cells, into my DNA, that I reverse the aging process, you know, the fountain of juice, I will say, you know, what we are, you know. I believe since 1980, I believe that we don't have to die anymore. We can show, you know, we have immortality beings since centuries on that planet, you know, who can show wherever they want to go and take their body with them in light, you know. And this is for our age, I think, now, the time to learn and to become aware of this, you know. I mean, when I talk sometimes about immortality, that people look at me like I'm insane, you know. But then I say, no, I believe it, and I know it is happened. One day here on that planet, you know, that we can ascend, that we can take our body with us, wherever we want to go, we can go. And not only some high spiritual teacher can do that, we all can do that when we show that.
Yeah, and I think you have to drop the gravity to do it.
Exactly. That is it, you know. Being not what I want to say here, Iris, at the moment I'm finishing my autobiography.
Oh, good.
And the title is My Life from Now to Now. My Life from Now to Now.
Oh, that sounds so wonderful.
A housewife's spiritual journey. And I thought, okay, I am a housewife still. Even I'm an artist, I don't care. I'm still a housewife. Even the housewife has not any more good meaning. When I say I'm a housewife, the people look at me and say, what, you are a housewife? What does that mean? But I think a housewife has a lot of responsibility for the kids, for the husbands, for herself, you know, knowing the right food, knowing spiritual life, you know, giving open heart, love, all that, you know, that is all housewife for me. Not just cooking for the husband and washing his socks and pants, you know, that has nothing to do with that, you know. And so, yeah, my life from now to now.
And is the subtitle My Life as a Housewife?
No, My Life from Now to Now is the title, and A Housewife's Spiritual Journey is the subtitle.
A Housewife's Spiritual Journey.
Yes.
That's so good, because so many people just think that they are their job title.
Right.
And we're so much a billion, million, trillion times more than that.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to encourage people to just, you know, drop the box that's been around them.
Right.
Yeah, not think outside the box.
Right.
Just drop the box.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to know that we are really divine and that we deserve whatever we want to create, you know, that we deserve that. What I like to do every morning before I start my meditation is I forgive and I'm forgiving. You know, we have a lot to forgive, ourselves, others, you know. That is a wonderful mantra, I forgive and I'm forgiven.
Because I forgive and I'm forgiven.
Wonderful mantra. I say that every morning 16 times, and then I start my meditation. You know, that I go clear from, say, I mean, yeah, I can say that from face to face to God,
yeah.
You know. God is anyway in us, you know. We don't have to look outside for God. There is no God outside. God is within us, in our heart, in us, you know. And so, yeah, I've forgiven, I'm forgiven, it's really a wonderful mantra, you know, to start even the day. It's
yes.
wonderful. We can forgive ourselves for lots of stuff that we did in past life, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Think about it.
you know, actually, that's the reason my husband died, because eons ago, he was a gladiator, and he could never forgive himself.
Oh.
And so he died in a lot of pain, but he never forgave himself till the last 2 days.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so he did forgive himself, and
good.
He really told me he had to do that before he could ascend.
Ah, okay, wonderful.
And I have to say I was mad about it.
Oh.
I said, well, I wasn't a gladiator. I have to go through this, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, then it's a lot to forgive, you know.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you about this light meditation. This light meditation.
Yeah.
Do you have that on a tape?
Yeah, you can, you know, when you go to humanityinunity.org, there is a DVD out that calls Brain Illumination.
Brain Illumination.
Yes,
I'm going to get
wonderful,
it.
And... It's wonderful. It's a whole technique. I mean, we have to learn a little bit in our brain where the pituitary gland is, or the pineal gland, or the amygdala, blah, blah, blah. And then we visualize that and bring light, divine light, through our in our brain and enlightened our brain, and then it goes to our whole body, you know, cells, to our DNA, RNA, so that we really become more and more light, because, you know, through, we have so much fear on that planet now, so through fear, our cells, our whole body is mostly contracted, you know, all the fear is stuck in there, and then we do the brain illumination, you know, illuminate our whole body, and with a special breathing technique, we can loosen that all up, you know, and the cells get we'll say, like softer, you know, and let the light in, the divine consciousness in.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful, powerful meditation, the brain illumination, you know.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Very good. And I mean, brain illuminations, that's the consciousness and wisdom is long, long time around. But the most the spiritual teacher don't talk about it. And that is what I like on Her Holiness Sai Ma Lakshmi Devi, that she talks us this kind of technique, you know, that, you know, that we bring. And because when we are light and consciously in love, we can bring that all to the planet, you know?
Yes.
Because the planet, we don't have to heal the planet. That is what I think. The planet can take care of himself, you know? That is for sure. We have to become enlightened. We have to become compassionate, in love, you know? That then on the whole planet with us, you know, is in love. But the planet can take care of himself and can... regenerate what we can do too. And that is so important to regenerate, to become younger and younger in actions, in consciousness, and in our body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, tell people again how they can reach you, Marlies.
Pardon?
Tell people again how they can reach you. You know, how they can reach you, how they can see your art, can they email you?
What we do, I give you again my website, that is starseedgallery.net, and there is a button, then when they want to send me an email, they can do that.
Okay.
And there is a lot to see, my whole autobiography, my whole life, really, and a lot of art to see on my website. Wonderful website.
And can they hear your music on that website?
Yes, they can hear the music, and they can go to starseedmusic.net. There they can actually order CDs if they want and listen to samples.
Okay. Okay, good. And what would you give people if you, and if you could only give one gift, you know, if you didn't have all these thousands of gifts you're giving, like the way you live your life and
mm-hmm.
and your art and your music, and what would you give?
To what, the people?
What would you give people if you could give one gift?
Compassion. Mm. Compassion, I think. You know, compassion, there is love in, that comes always from the heart. Compassion comes always from our heart, you know.
It's not trying to get anything.
No. I think, you know, we have to give without expectation or without thinking, I give that, then I get something back. That is completely the wrong thinking, because when we do that, we don't get anything back, really. You know, then,
besides that, it's trading.
Right, exactly.
It's not giving.
Yes, yes. No, I think with an open heart, just giving, you know, unconditional, whatever it is. You know, when I see a homeless, when I'm in the Bay Area, there are lots of homeless. I give always money, you know, always, sometimes $5, sometimes $10. When I have only a dollar in my car, I give that. And sometimes when I have water, I give them water as well, because that is mostly what the people need as well, water, not only food, you know, water, water.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, yeah.
That's very
important. So I think, yeah, when we have more compassion here on that planet, you know, it's wonderful to see, you know, to see suffering people and give them. Even sometimes, you know, I figured out sometimes I don't have money with me. You know, even only talking to homeless people, to show them that you care for them, even in words, you know, or touching them, they are so grateful. Unbelievable, you know, that somebody talks to them.
Yes,
not giving them only a dollar or ten, you know.
Yes.
Sometimes it's that loving touch much more than the dollar.
Yes.
You know, really.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing them as the Christ.
Right.
Well, we have to go now. Thank you so much for being with us, Marlee.
Thank you, Iris, and I hope I see you here in Mount Shasta in my house.
You will.
Okay.
Okay, I'm moving there.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully. Congratulations.
Yeah. And with all my heart, I thank you for being here and listening. We'll be here Monday at 2 o'clock. There's some confusion. We're either going to have another fabulous artist, the master perfumer, Laurie Stern, or we're going to have beloved Edwin Gaines, one of the great teachers of prosperity.
Mm.
And until then, happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you, and this is my wish for you.
Thank you so much.
All your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible.
Thank you, Iris.
Thank
you. And have wonderful holidays.
You too.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Don.